In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Always on the Sunday of the Samaritan Woman, I have to speak of this glorious conversation of the Samaritan woman, we know her name, Fotini Svetlana, with Jesus Christ, because it is a conversation of Christ with the soul. But I've told you before that when you hear the scriptures in the church, things jump out at you. If you're listening carefully, things that you've read many times before suddenly have a different meaning. And that happened to me when I was listening to the epistle being read. And it mentioned Barnabas. And it said that he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, could that be said of me? And I don't think so. Now, the Holy Spirit abides in me as I am a Christian. But to be full of the Holy Spirit, I can't make that claim. I should be able to make that claim. So should you. It's sad if we're not full of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're born for. So when I heard that read, I thought, it's not right that I'm not full of the Holy Spirit. It's not right that I don't know how much of the Holy Spirit is within me. I know not enough. Not that the Holy Spirit is limited in any way, but I limit the expression of God within me. So do you. So even when you read something simple as Barnabas was a good man full of the Holy Spirit, you must always have it reflect back on yourself. I hadn't thought about it that way until I heard it in church. But I want to talk about this feast day for us Samaritans. Last week, I recommended to you a very, very good sermon about the feast day of us paralytics, of all paralytics, because we're all paralytics. In some way, we're all paralyzed. We all don't express the love of God as we should. And so also, we are Samaritans. At least we should be like this Samaritan woman, Fotini. Now, I'm not going to go into the theology that our Lord spoke of. It's very deep. It's incredibly profound and precise. His theological dialogue with the Samaritan woman. They were considered to be the heretics of the day, Jewish heretics, Jewish apostates. And they had some wrong ideas about worship. They were basically schismatics, we could say, approximately schismatics from the Jews. But the Lord came to her specifically to enlighten her. And this enlightenment happened in stages. It always does. Our enlightenment happens in stages. And the Gospels that are of this period are all about enlightenment in stages. We saw it with Thomas. His enlightenment came over the course of 8 days. We saw it with Peter, although the Gospel wasn't specifically read, the one where Peter they're fishing, and finally the Lord, they catch all the 153 fish and Peter's able to pull them to land and the Lord restored him. That was over a period of time. It didn't happen on the day of the resurrection. It happened later, sometime during that 40-day period. We see enlightenment with the paralytic. The Lord sought him out. We'll see enlightenment with the blind man soon when his Sunday comes. The myrrh-bearing women, they went to the tomb not knowing that they were going to anoint a man who was already alive. And gradually, over time, for them it was short, but it's sort of a metaphor for our life. There's a period of time that it takes for us to become enlightened, but we must be on that trip to the tomb in order to have that enlightenment. This woman, Saint Fotini, was enlightened by the Lord concerning truth and righteousness. Of course, you cannot have truth without righteousness. And if there is righteousness, then there is truth. And the Lord taught her about both. He corrected her theological misunderstandings, and he also corrected her immorality. And she stayed and listened for him. It's all about the conversation. It's that way for us too. The Lord is having a conversation with us. Do you hear it? I hope you do. Every day the Lord is conversing with you. He's teaching you. The Holy Spirit who abides in you is teaching you about Christ. Sometimes these will be rebukes about the things that you do wrong. Sometimes they will be encouragements or increases in knowledge and wisdom. Sometimes they will be, and this is what really is the most important in my opinion, where God enlightens us to know who we are, to know what kind of person we are. You know, sin is not the stuff you do. Sin is who you are. Sin is the weakness of your flesh, the weakness of your will. Now, that weakness expresses itself in things you do or that you don't do, things that break the law. But the sin is your condition, your state. It's like having a disease of the body. That disease expresses itself in various ways. But overall, you have this disease, this wasting away of the soul. And the Lord is speaking to you every day about that. He's showing you how the world passes and how the world is full of grief and lies and depravity. And the only thing that matters, the only thing that will last, is God. And that God being in your heart is the only thing that is important. That conversation is occurring all the time. So this conversation that is shown in this gospel reading today is happening to you and me. It's happening right now at this moment, and it will continue to happen, and it always is going on. Now, the sad thing is that much of the time we do not hear this conversation because God speaks softly to us. He doesn't shout at us. We must listen to him. We can choose not to listen. Remember how Elias went into the cave, and after the earthquake and the flood and the fire and all these things that made all this noise, the Lord was not in those things. He was in the still, small voice. So he had to be quiet to hear God. So we must be quiet. Now that quietness is not about whether or not there is sound. The quietness is whether or not there are passions in our soul. Because passions in our soul obscure the voice of God. We must sit still to listen to God. And that's what this woman did. Now, it's very important to note, she was doing a lot of things wrong. She was not living a quote-unquote good life. She was in fornication with a man. She'd been married 5 times. Probably those had been adulterous relationships. It's unheard of to be married 5 times. And now she was in a state of sin. That's why she was going to the well at that time. Nobody in their right mind goes to the well when it's hot. She was going in the heat of the day because she was avoiding the looks, the glances, and the gossip of her countrymen. So she wasn't living the right way. And she also had the incorrect theology of her countrymen. Samaritan religion kind of was a mixture of things. It had some pagan things in it. Remember that when the Jews came to the Promised Land, they were told to rout out all the pagans, but they didn't do it. And they suffered greatly ever since then. And so the Samaritan religion was sort of a a result of this, not routing the pagans out of the land. They had a mixture of some things. Their religion was very, very odd. And so her religion was odd. But when Jesus asked her for water, something in her soul became interested. It was odd for a man, especially a Jewish man, to ask a Samaritan for water. That just wasn't done. That wasn't done in proper society. So that in and of itself got her thinking. But that would just be idle curiosity. Then they began to speak. And the Lord said to her, "Give me water." She says, "Do you have anything to draw with? The well is deep." And he said to her about living water, which of course is the Holy Spirit. And the woman was interested then. Because despite the fact that she was living a sinful life, her soul wanted to be with God. So she listened to him about how she could obtain this living water. And the conversation was basically theological. And then it became very, very personal. And the Lord made it that way. He says, "Go call thy husband." Well, she didn't have a husband. So she told him the truth, "I don't have a husband." Of course, that is the truth, but not the whole truth. And the Lord immediately showed that he knew her heart. As he says, "You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And the one you're with now is not your husband." This shows now the greatness of her soul, because her reaction was not of being angry or indignant. She knew that she was now speaking with someone who knew something. She wasn't quite sure, I don't think, whether or not he was Messiah. I think she was starting to think it. But the reason she was starting to think it is because she bothered to listen in the conversation and the Lord's corrections. First his theological corrections and then his moral corrections. Of course, it's unthinkable to think that she remained in her fornication relationship with this man after the Lord left. Of course she didn't. She was changed by him. And she was so courageous after this conversation that she went to her countrymen, the ones who she avoided because she was of a reputation as being a loose woman. She went to her countrymen to tell them, "Is this not the Christ?" And they came, and then they listened. And so many of them were saved. This conversation is happening. But you have to sit still and listen. You have to cooperate. Because the Holy Spirit is talking to you. But he will not talk over your speech, over your passions. You must sit and quiet your passions and listen to him. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be perfectly passionless. Of course, that's an impossibility. But you have to desire God above all things. And in our world, we don't desire God above all things. Very few people, even that call themselves Christians, desire God above all things. They desire comfort and prestige and ease and pleasure and worldly things, much more than they desire God. And if you look at your heart, you decide. Do you desire God above all things? Are you willing to listen to him? If you are, then the things that are wrong in your life will be corrected. One by one, two by two, seven at a time, however the Lord does it, it's going to happen. But only if you listen. If you be still for him. The only reason you're alive is to know God and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no other reason. There's no other purpose. And God is engaging you in this conversation constantly. And as a pastor, I beg God that you would hear this conversation. About your sins, I'm not so concerned. I'm concerned about your desire, about your effort. Because this Samaritan woman was really sinful. But she had a soul that wanted to know God. And so God visited her. God directed his travel to be with her at that moment in time. It was not accidental at all. Neither that he came to the city, neither that he came at that time, nor that he sent his disciples away to get provisions. It was all planned so that he could have this private conversation with one soul. He's doing that with you and I. We have to listen. We have to be prepared. So there's lots wrong with us, our beliefs. That's probably something in the way we believe, at least in terms of our priorities, our practices, our morality, especially who we are. There's a lot wrong with us. But if we're listening, God will bring all these things to our mind, and we will be able to be rid of them all. Every passion, every sin, everything that's wrong, every incompleteness, every diseased part of our soul. But you have to listen. This is always an exciting day for me, because this is what's happening to you and me right now. And there's nothing more exciting than the soul becoming well. There's nothing better. There's nothing that makes God rejoice more, nor the angels rejoice more, than a soul that is improving, knowing God, casting out passions, and being more and more filled with the Holy Spirit. God will meet us where we are, but he will not talk over us. So you don't have to be afraid if you think you're too unworthy. There's no such thing. We should always think we're unworthy. But make sure that you listen. That's why I try to get you to read the Gospels. Right now, we should, as a parish, be reading St. John. And according to our schedule, I think we're all the way through the 15th chapter as of today in our personal reading. I hope that you're doing something approximately like that. I really don't care if you've only read 3 chapters. If you've read them with attention and with desire, and that you've asked God to speak to you through them, but be reading the Gospels. The Psalter is good too. And of course, I've told you about all the other things that, to be honest with you, in terms of whether or not you're doing them, well, a lot of them you're not doing. Communing frequently, coming to the services more frequently. Those are all very important, because those are all part of the conversation. But all of those things are in the context that you are sitting at the well, listening to the Lord. That's your entire life. Sitting and listening to the Lord, because he is speaking to you. And if you don't hear him, then you should be afraid, because you should hear him. I'm not talking about with your ears. I'm not talking about with a voice in your head. I'm talking that you should feel the direction of the Lord in your life. If you don't, come talk to me, because you should feel it. Because all the time he is speaking with you. It's a glorious and a wonderful thing that he will speak to us who are paralytics, to us who are Samaritans, to us who are sinners. All we need to do is listen, and he will fill us with the Holy Spirit. May God grant it, that you hear him in this conversation, that you engage him in this conversation, that you listen and obey, and that the Holy Spirit would be completely filling your heart. Amen.